Good morning, everyone. And I guess after the past few days, we thought about building the ark, but we didn't have to. We survived, didn't we? I want to talk to you today about serving. And the Lord's Supper is a call to serve. When we worship, when we have those intimate moments with God, it really should spur us to want to serve, to want to do something for Him. You see, we don't serve God because we have to. We serve God because we want to. You know, there's nothing that we can do that will bring His favor upon us, but because His favor is upon us, we want to work. We want to do things for Him. And so, I want to ask just some simple questions today, some reflective type things. If you knew this was going to be your last day, what would be the statement about your life? What would you want said about your life? What would be said about your life? If you knew this was going to be your last day, what would you want to make your last day the happiest day that it possibly could be? That's something to think about. Is there something out there that you could have, and I'm talking to, don't get super spiritual with me here right now, but is there something out there that you could have that would just say, okay, that's the end of my bucket list? You know, I've reached the ultimate high. See, we're going to look at a passage that we were in last Sunday's message. And really, what we're going to see is some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet Earth. It's a statement. It's a statement to all of us here today. So we're going to unpack just another wrinkle of truth, another aspect of what John, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17 says. So on the screen this morning, we're going to have those verses. If you have your Bible, you're certainly welcome to turn there with me. They will be on the screen as well. Let's read the Word of God. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And after supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded. Verse 6. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to Him, you shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, you were not all clean. So when He had washed their feet, taken His garment, sat down again, He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you have said well, for I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, as a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of His word today. Now, I want to sort of set the table just for a little bit here, and I want us to realize that this comes after the Lord has instituted the Lord's Supper. These words that He's speaking here and these immediate actions after the Lord's Supper are really important. And there's some phrases in here we've got to understand. You know, one of the things that we see in the Gospels, and especially in the Gospel of John, he said, my hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. But here in the 17th chapter, he goes totally against what he's been saying with the recognition that his hour is now. This is the important time. This is the time when I'm going to be taking from you. And so we need to really remember here that his last act as flesh and blood, one of the last acts as flesh and blood that he could do, was an act of service. Service to others while he was still alive. Now, I've asked a couple of questions. Let me go back to what I've asked earlier. What would you do if you knew your final few hours were going to be today? You know, it sounds sort of morbid, doesn't it? Can I tell you something I know? The way that you spend your last few hours often is the way that you've spent your life. That's coming from somebody that's been around some folks that have went on home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and some probably haven't gone home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. The way that you invest your life is the way that you are probably going to punctuate the end of your life. That's something that jumps right off the pages of what we read to me today. Jesus Christ, I mean, what is said of him? He went about doing good. He served. This is what he did in life. And this is what we see in this passage that we have before us. Christ invested in people prior to this point by serving them. Christ, in his last few hours that he has, is investing in people by serving them. I mean, being really down to the nitty-gritty, the dirty stuff, washing their feet. And so the way that you end your life is really the way that you've ended your life. I've had a couple funerals over the past several weeks of some dear saints of this church. And people have said to me some different things about the funeral message. And my response is always this way. They've preached their own funeral. The way they've lived their life. The way they live their life says something about the way that they die. Now, John's gospel doesn't give any details about the Lord's Supper in that upper room, but it does give great detail of what happened after the Passover meal. So here we are today. We have the communion meal before us. There's some important imagery that is here before us. But boy, if we lose focus and just think it's just about this, or this is going to make us holy, and this is going to make us sanctified, and we're going to be able to walk on water after we leave here today, you've missed the point, my friend. See, the point here is we're broken. There's not a one of us here better than anybody else. Every one of us is sinners. Now, we've either trusted Christ and asked him for his forgiveness, and we've entered into his kingdom, or we haven't done that, and you need to do that today. So there's none of us any better than the other one. There's just some of us that are saved and some of us that aren't saved. And after receiving that meal that day, he served them. So what I want you to understand is, man, when we do these things, I mean, we're recognizing that something was done for us. And we, out of response to that, not because we have to, but because we want to, we want to serve him. So I want to point out just three simple things here today. He modeled love, and that's what we need to do today. We've been given this wonderful opportunity to love one another. I mean, it's important. Look back at verse 1. If you've got your Bible, we won't put it back on the screen, but in verse 1, it just simply says this. He loved them to the end. And that was a great understanding that he had, that they would all deny him. We focus on, you know, Judas Iscariot, who would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Could you imagine betraying the Lord Jesus Christ for money? Well, we do it for a lot of less than money, my friend. We do it over a television show. We do it over an automobile, whatever you want to think. I mean, we can betray the Lord Jesus Christ and that become God in our life and he become less than God in our life. But let me show you something. It says he loved them to the end, regardless of what their response was going to be to that love. It was undeserved, wasn't it? These guys weren't perfect. It was unending, though. That's an amazing thing to me, because it was unconditional. Those are the things that he modeled to us. Even Jesus said in Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That was what his life was about. So for us today, we're to love one another. If we go down about 17 verses from where we were at in that 17th verse, down to verse 35, there's some wonderful words that Christ gives. I want you to hear these words. A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, they will know that you are my disciples if you have loved for one another. Now, that's pretty explicit. It's pretty clear. He modeled love. We're to model love, aren't we? And so when we take this today, man, there's got to be an emptying of ourselves. I mean, we can't have bitterness towards somebody else and think, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. Or, you know, they're silly. Man, we got to dump that, friends. Got to get rid of all that baggage. Because he loved them to the end, and we've got to love one another to the end. Amen? And by this, we'll be known as his disciples. So, does everybody deserve our love? No. Can I tell you something? It may come as a big shock to everybody here today. I don't deserve your love. But you all love me, don't you? I didn't hear any amens. Huh? Our love needs to be unending. And our love for one another needs to be unconditional. That's the way we model love. And so today when we take this, I mean, you're saying, okay, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. You may struggle with it. But that's okay. We're all fellow strugglers. Now let me show you another thing here. He loved them in spite of failures, and we are to love in spite of failures. It's one thing to love knowing that others can hurt us, but their actions weren't deliberate, you know. Somebody says something, you know, it's sort of, oh, what did they mean by that? Well, I'll just forget about it. It wasn't that big a deal. Boy, I wish we could all do that. I wish I could do that a lot better, you know. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve kind of thing, you know. Sometimes it's hard not to do that, but don't wear your heart on your sleeve. Don't let somebody get you upset by just a few words. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not a bad thing to adopt. But it's another thing to love when another tries to deliberately hurt you. An argument, in a fight, trying to win that argument, trying to be the one that's right, and hurtful, deliberate things are said one to the other. You know, that happens in homes, between parents. It happens between husbands and wives. It happens between church members. They get all caught up in the moment and think, well, you know, we're not going to do it that way because my way is the best way. No. How are we known as his disciples? That we love one another. You know? It's not that we can't have an opinion or we can't have some say in the matter, but we don't take it to a level where the world could look at it and say, boy, I sure don't want to be a part of that. That's not what we need to do. This is what Christ did. And we are to love in spite of failures. You know, Christ said in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 29 through 30, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Those are hard things to put in practice. It sort of makes us feel like a doormat sometimes, doesn't it? But boy, that's humility, isn't it? That's being humble. And listen, sometimes, if not a lot of times, that's what it takes to be a servant. It really does. We get treated like servants, and then we get all bent out of shape because we got treated like a servant. You know? It's just part of where we're at here in this world. And there'll be one day that the eternity will open up. We'll be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And these things that went down here, there'll be people in heaven because of the acts of kindness, the acts of love that we bestowed not only on one another, but those as well outside the kingdom. Let me give you the third and the final thing here. Knowing and doing are one and the same. That's the third and the final thing here today. To those of us who know to do good and we do not do it, what is it? Sin. Can everybody say that today? It is what? Sin. That's right. Anybody sin this past week, this morning? Huh? You knew to do something right? I see a couple hands. Thank you for being honest. Yeah. And it's children that's raising their hand, by the way. Children. What did Jesus say about the kingdom of God? How do you enter into his kingdom? Become as a little child, trust. It's hard for a child not to be honest, isn't it? You know, they may mess up. They may really put the monkey wrench in the proverbial machinery. But when confronted with the facts, most of the time kids will say, okay, I did it. We, on the other hand, try to anesthetize our sin. We try to cover it up by saying, well, I wouldn't have done that if they hadn't done that. No. Fact is, if we know to do what's right and we don't do it, it's simply a sin. What do we need to do? Well, here's some simple things that we can do. And this is things that this church puts well into practice. But we do need to be reminded of them. I need to be reminded of these things. Put others first. Simply by serving them. Try to figure out what you can do to help someone else along their way. Husbands, do that for your wives. Wives, do that for your husbands. Moms and dads, do that for your children. Children, listen, guys, little guys and gals this morning, and teenage guys and gals, do that. Figure out something to help your family with. Serve them in some way. Second thing, know that any of the difficulties that you're going through have always been filtered through God's divine will, his divine wisdom. Tough spot? Just know that God's there, right? He is there, isn't he? People never lose sight that God's still in charge. A lot of people were willing to throw up their hands over this past week with a Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court has power over this land. Now, they may have taken some liberties that I feel that they didn't have, but nonetheless, there's some things that are law of the land right now. But I can tell you one power that the Supreme Court doesn't have. They don't have the power to put the Lord Jesus Christ back in the grave, right? We've got a risen Savior, and there's going to be great opportunities that will come out of this for us to share the gospel, because we're going to stand for the truth. And when the truth when all these lies come to fruition, when people get what they want and they don't want what they get, the ones who have stood for the truth and willing to say, here's God's way, here's what God has intended, this is what models who he is with his church, and this is what we see as being the way to not only to make him happy, but to have peace, inner peace in yourself. If we're the ones that stand for that, then the ones who have sort of capitulated and fudged and lied and don't want to be in a confrontational situation, they're not going to have any voice with those folks. They're not. So I'm going to stand for the truth because it's all I got. Amen? Be a self-starter. Don't wait for somebody else to say, hey, can you do this for me? If you see something that needs to be done, just go ahead and do it. Fourth, don't be afraid to work in the background. Don't worry about being seen. And simply begin your day by thanking God for those he has placed in your life to serve. What a prayer in the morning would be this. Lord, I thank you that you've placed people in my life that I can be Jesus to, that I can serve. Now that's a prayer, my friend. And that should be the prayer that comes from our lips every single day. We're going to stand at this time. We're going to have prayer. And so, I want you to know that God loves you. And the things that we have before us here today, we're going to have bread and we're going to have grape juice, unleavened bread and grape juice. These represent some things. They represent that Jesus Christ died for you. Now see, it was just not enough that he died for you, but he also had to offer something to even the score, so to speak. See, when he was hung on the cross, he was beaten, all the bad things, the physical things that he suffered, happened to him, that was for every wrong that you've ever done. That was for just a little white lie. That was for being unfaithful in your marriage. That was for lying, cheating, stealing. That was for your anger that you had no right to be angry over, and you maybe hit someone or hit something. All those things, all our sin was placed upon him, and it had to be punished. He secured that punishment for all eternity. But it just wasn't enough for that. His blood was shed. And his blood, because it was sinless, it was perfect, there was not anything ever wrong with it, it was able to be offered for you, given for you, that you can have a right relationship with God. Because it's just not enough to punish sin. It also, there has to be some way to pay it back. And his blood paid it back. If you've not asked Christ to do this in your life, to forgive your sin, to cover your sin, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to come forward today. I want you to walk to one of these aisles here and say, I want to give my heart to Christ. I don't want to live on my own anymore. I know I haven't been perfect, but I want to live for Jesus. I'm just wondering if somebody would be willing to do that today. I'll tell you what, I'll rejoice with you. There'll be a church full of people that rejoice with you. Maybe 10 or 12 people here today need to do that. Don't leave here today without doing that. So in a few moments, we're going to have a verse of invitation. If you're a member here today, and man, with communion service, it's all about, we got the stuff before us, I'm sort of prayed up, and I'm going to go home, I'm going to hit the restaurant today, and I'm going to be nasty and negative to the waitress or waiter. Don't do that, my friend. Why don't, when you leave here today, if you're going out to dinner, which some of you are, Why don't you ask your waiter or waitress, can I pray for you today? Say, I'm going to have prayer here for the food. Is there something I can pray for you today? Ask him that. Sometimes you'll be amazed at the response you get. I've seen people start crying, say, you know, I've got this going on in my life. I'm amidst a really bad storm. Why don't you just see how you can take the towel out and wash somebody else's feet today? So every head bowed, every eye closed. If God's speaking to you today some way, shape, or form, calling you to repentance, then you come forward as we begin to sing in just a moment or two here. You come forward. And you find myself or find one of these counselors and we'll pray with you. If you're a member, you want to come forward and pray today, you do that as well. After I'm done praying today, the invitation begins. We're going to ask you to react. So let's pray. Father, again, we are grateful for your love. Lord, we're grateful that Jesus was a doer. And he spent his life serving. And even the last fleeting moments, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant, to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And Lord, the here and now will not always be a here and now, but we will have an eternity to live in. An eternity where the anguishes, the troubles, the trials, the difficulties of life will not even be a remembrance. We'll be at peace, we'll be at rest, we'll have life, we will have new and wonderful things that the ear has not heard or the eye has seen yet. And we thank you for just a wonderful thing that we will have one day. So may we serve in the here and now with that aspect in our mind. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.